Right, morning, everybody. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Lamed Gimel. It's very easy to remember. Today we're going to be speaking about Rav Shimon bar Yochai. It's one of the easiest ones to remember. So it's Lag BaOmer early, really early. So, but in the meantime, however, we still have what to catch up. We're on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. We're at the two dots. Follow me, please. We're on right in the middle of the Amud, about three lines before the lines become wide. Pligi bar Rabbi Rav Yehuda. So again, now we're talking. It's very serious Gemara. It's could call also depressing, but the Gemara talks about consequences of not fulfilling mitzvahs in the Torah. And the Gemara speaks about premature death. The Gemara got onto this discussion because of the Mishnah. You remember the Mishnah back on Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, where the Mishnah talked about Ashosh Averus Nashim Mesos B'Shas Leidasan, that when women are in a precarious state, when they are vulnerable, when they're giving birth, so because of their avonos, because of their sins, so they don't have the zechus to protect them, and therefore they may suffer a premature death. So the Gemara then spent a good part of yesterday, Daf Lamed Beis, and a good part of today talking about the avonos of a person, and what kind of punishments are meted out for particular avanos. So we are continuing in the Gemara on the middle of the Amud. Pligi bar Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Charamar ba'avon mezuzah, v'charamar ba'avon tzitzis. Okay? Premature death comes as a result of avon mezuzah, not putting mezuzah on your door, or tzitzis, not wearing tzitzis. Now, bishlam l'man d'armar ba'avon mezuzah. Now, the mezuzah one, that's easy. Easy to understand. Okay, so that's really straightforward. The Torah juxtaposes the pasuk of putting a mezuzah on with the pasuk of Laman Yibu Yimechem Vimevenechem. We should be all familiar, right? Some of us already daven, so we already said it. Some of us will daven, some of us will say it. Either way, so that's clear. Laman Darma Bavon Tzitzis, my timer, but Tzitzis, for not wearing Tzitzis, so a person will face a premature death, and it's very strange when you think about Tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh. Generally speaking, there's no punishment for a mitzvah saseh, for bittul mitzvah saseh. You could point to exceptions. Exception is Karban Pesach. So there's a punishment of kares for Karban Pesach. I can point to another exception, mitzvah of milah. Okay, that's another positive commandment with a punishment. But generally speaking, there is no punishment for a bittul aseh, for the non-compliance of a positive commandment. And the Gemara here speaks about premature death. So Amar Rav Kahana v'Tema Shila Mari Dechsev. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where the pasuk says that bichnafecha, with the corners, and that's of course a reference, an allusion to the mitzvah of tzitzis. So nimsu dam nefashos evyonim nikiim, people who are evyonim nikiim, poor, clean people, clean not meaning clean, but in other words, guilt free, but they will unfortunately have dam nefashos, they will be put to death. Now, as far as, let's go back to the mezuzah, even though we had a very clear back-to-back psukim in the Parsha Shema, the Gemara quotes another pasuk that speaks to this idea as well. We go to Yirmiyahu, second parak of Yirmiyahu, lo memachteres mitzasim shasu psachim kemachteres. The pasuk says, I found them in machteres. Now, machteres is like a tunnel, a cave, which I know is a big theme of today's daf, but the Gemara over here quotes this as in a bad sense, meaning that what they did is that they made their entrances look like the entrance to a cave. It didn't have posts. Now, I don't have an easy time visualizing exactly what that means, but that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that their doorways didn't have posts, therefore they created, maybe it was circular. I'm not sure. Anyway, but yeah, perhaps it was circular. That's the idea. But the idea is that they went out of their way to make sure that they had a structure that didn't need a mezuzah. Okay. Shatsu pesachim kemachteres. Okay. Amr Shlakish kolazer b'tzitzis ochem misham shen lo beiz alafim v'ches meos avadim. Okay, now the Gemara goes the other way. Meaning, what if you do wear tzitzis? So what, in other words, so we know what the punishment is for not wearing tzitzis, so what's the reward for wearing tzitzis? So you're going to be protected by 2,800 servants. Okay. Right. And then ask me what that means. Don't. Shenemar Koamar Hashem Tzvakos Miyamima Haheima Asher Yachziku Asaron Hashem Mikol Hashanos Agoyim Ve'achziku Bechnaf Ish Yehudi Leimor Nelchaim Achem. In days to come, says the Pasuk in Zechariah, there will be where 10 people of every nation are going to cling to one of your four garments. A little bit of math. So 10 people from every nation, we know there are 70 nations. So 10 people from every nation, that means 70, are going to be clinging to your... Sorry, so there goes my math. 70 times 10, that's 700, are clinging to every corner, you have four corners. So that gives us 2,800 avadim that are going to be attached to the person, to the Jew who's going to be wearing tzitzis. Okay. Simon, now. The Gemara is going to be spending an amud. From here, more than an amud. From here to the bottom of Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, with the discussion of particular avonos and their consequences for violation of these avonos. We're going to be speaking about 9 in total. The Gemara first gives us a simon, a way to remember it. Nivlosa. Did you get that all? If not, it's fine. We're going to go through each one of them individually. Tanya. Reb Nechemya Omer Ba'avon Sinas Chinam. So for the sin of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. Meriva Rabba Besoch Beso. Now in every one of these, by the way, what you should be looking for is Mida Keneged Mida. Right? We know that punishment comes measure for measure for the act, for the crime itself. It's both intuitive, and the Torah speaks about this at length. The Gemara speaks about this at length. I told you, Rashi and Chumash, it's one of his favorite themes, Mida Keneged Mida. So here, basically, you have to look for the Mida Keneged Mida. The first one is self-evident, at least I believe so. So for Sinas Chinam, for baseless hatred, so you know what's going to happen? So there's going to be additional quarreling in your house. Al Shal Adam V'Isha Ma'palas Nefalim, and God forbid, Rachman Litzlan, the wife is going to be Ma'pal Nefalim, she'll have miscarriages, Uvana V'Nosef Shal Adam Meisim K'shem Ketanim, and children will die at a very early age. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ba'avon Chala. Okay, this is number 2. There are going to be 9 of them in total. At least that's what my accounting tells me. So Ba'avon Chala, for the non-compliance of taking off challah. Whenever you make dough, there's a mitzvah to take off challah, portion of the dough, give it to a kohen. Nowadays, we don't give it to a kohen for various reasons. But okay, there's a mitzvah of challah. Ein bracha b'mechunas. So what's going to happen, because you didn't give challah, is that there will not be bracha in mechunas. Now, what does that word mean? Mechunas, it means collected. What are we talking about? So they take a look at Rashi. Rashi says we're talking about your cellars. Your cellars that are filled with wine and oil. So there won't be bracha. And Rashi then goes on to say, and as a result of that, so now there's going to be less product out in the market, meaning less wine, less oil. So you know what happens now when there is less product out in the market? Prices go up. Which takes us to the next point. And then the markets are going to go up. Inflation is going to go crazy. And you're going to plant seeds and others are going to eat it. Now, how do we know that all this comes back to the fact that the person did not take off challah? Now, this is from the first tochacha. There are 2 tochachas in the Torah, one at the end of Sefer Vayikra, one at the end of Sefer Devarim. So this is the one of Vayikra. So I'm going to visit you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in a productive way, not in a positive way. And v'yifkadeti alechem be'alas ha-shachefes v'asekhadachas mikalos einayim u'midivos nafesh v'zaratam larik v'zarachem v'achlu oivechem. Okay, so the pasuk speaks about, in very scary terms, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to visit us and send all these plagues amongst us, and we're going to plant, and we're not going to eat, and our enemy is going to eat the food that we planted. Now, all this comes back to the word behala, altikra behala ela bichala. So the Gemara does this often, where we basically adjust the word a little bit. Hey and ches are 2 guttural letters, so they are interchangeable. So the word behala transforms into the word bechala, and so now we know that's ba'avon chala. Now, what if you do give challah? So the Gemara goes the other direction. So what if you do the mitzvah of challah? So the Gemara says that what you can expect now is bracha. Pasuk says it straight out. There's not much darshaning you need to do from the pasuk. Ba'avon bitul trumas ha'maisos. Now we move on. This is number 3 of the list. So non-compliance with trumas ha'maisos. So you don't give off your trumas ha'maisos. So as a result of that, Shemaim Netzraim Elahori Talamatar. So no rain, v'hayoker hava, v'ashecher avad, and you're going to lose all your drink. people will work hard, but will not have a parnasa. Shenamar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Iyov that speaks to this idea. Saye gam chom yigzalu mime shaleg. Drought and heat will steal the snow. Sha'ol cheto. And similarly, the grave will steal the sinner. Meaning the grave is going to like snatch the sinner. So, and the Gemara assumes that this is connected to Bittol Trumos HaMaestros. My mashma tana de Rav Yishmael bishvul dvarim shitzivisi eschem yemos achama. Now, how do we know that this pasuk is a reference to Trumos HaMaestros? So the Gemara says, because look, you got to take the first part of the pasuk and compare it to the second part. First part is the pasuk is talking about bimei chama. Now, during the summer. Now, during the summer, that's when you take off Trumos HaMaestros. Sure, because at that point in time, you already harvested. Right, you harvested, right, what's the time of the katsir, the harvest? That's called springtime. So springtime you're harvesting. So that means summertime you need to be taking off Trumos HaMaestros. So because you fail to do so, in other words, your summer should be involved in taking off Trumos HaMaestros. So v'lo asisim yigzul mechem mei shalag. So as a result of that, the snow-capped mountains are not going to be snow-capped. Now, what if you do give off Trumos HaMaestros? So it's barchin. So again, what to look forward to then is bracha shenamar. The pasuk in Malachi, the Gemara here quotes it. The Gemara in Tanis quotes it as well. You bring the maaser, you take it in, you put it into my storehouse. V'yiterev beveisi, and there'll be food in my house. Uvechanuni nabezos, and you can even test me. And the Gemara in Tanis, everyone remembers. We'll see it together shortly enough. The Gemara in Tanis tells us that with no mitzvah are you allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? You're not allowed to say, B'schus, this particular mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please do this for me, or please give me this. However, the Gemara in Tanis says there's one exception to that rule, and that's the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tzedakah, you're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and say that I'm going to give tzedakah, and if you do so, please give me this. And you can do that with tzedakah. Now, I caution the listener, that first of all, there is a discussion whether it works for all types of tzedakah, or does it work specifically with Trumos HaMaestros. From this Gemara over here, and in the context of our Gemara, it sounds like it works for Trumos HaMaestros, so it could be that it's just limited to Trumos HaMaestros, although, take a look at the Gemara in Tanis, which we're going to do later on, sometime, a couple years from now. But anyway, take a look over there, Staff Tests, right? I don't need Bakias, I have the side. So the right, Daf Tes, yes it is. So the Gemara over there seems to put it in the context of tzedakah in general. So okay, take a look over there anyway. But with this particular mitzvah, Chanuni gam bezos, you can test me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Hashem tzvakos, yim lo avtach lechem es arabos ha-shamayim, v'arekos yilechem baracha ad belidai. And I'll just continue to give you bracha. Ad belidai, with no end in sight. So Mayad Belidai, the Gemara Darshan says, the Gemara over there, Darshan is the same. Amarami bar Chama, Amarav, Ad Sheyivlu Sifsosech Milomar Dai. Can you imagine that the amount of bracha we're going to receive is that we're going to get so much bracha, we're going to actually say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu enough. Meaning that's enough bracha. That's the kind of bracha we have to look forward to in the zchus of giving off Trumos HaMaestros, and perhaps we can even extend that to tzedakah as well. Number four. Ba'avon Gezel. So as a result of stealing, meaning if there is a good amount of stealing going on, so what is the punishment? Haguvai ola. So now we're going to get plagued with locusts. Now locusts, it's funny because we're going to talk now for the next couple of minutes at length about locusts. So do you know your locust species? So the answer is I don't. But if you take a look in Yoel, the Navi Yoel, so you will see over there all different types of species of locusts. We're probably most familiar with the Arba, but that's because it's in Chumash, it's in Va'era, it's, you know, beginning of Parshas Bo. So we the Arba we know with, but there are many different types of locusts, and we're going to get a little bit familiar with, over the next couple of minutes, different types of locusts. So Ba'avon Gezel, so because there is a wave of stealing, so now you're going to have locusts come, Guvai Olav, Harav Hava, and of course with locusts comes famine, because that's what locusts do, they eat the food. Uvnei Adam Ocha Basar B'neihem Uvenoseihem. And then the Gemara tells us, frightfully, that people are going to have no food, and in the absence of food, so they're going to use their children as food. Sheneh Mershimu Hadavar Hazo, Paros Abashan, Asher Bahar Shamran, Ha'oshkos Dalim. So they abuse people that are poor, they exploit people that are poor. Harotitzos Avyonim, they rip off people who are poor. Amar Rava Kagonhan and Shed de Mechuza. Rava gives an example of what the Navi is talking about. the wives of Mechuza to Achlam Velo Avadan. Now, we know that the husband is responsible to support and feed his wife. Part of the ksuva obligation is that a husband is obligated to support his wife and to feed her and to clothe her and to provide for her. The Gemara also points out that it is a dual contractual agreement, meaning that the wife also has a responsibility to work, and all the earnings that she earns goes to her husband. Okay, this is the, as per the general contract ksuva between husband and wife. So the Neshei Mechuza, the wives of Mechuza, the Gemara tells us, so they enjoy the food of their husband, they eat from the husband, v'lo avadim, but they don't work. So the Gemara says they are the thieves that are brought about in the Pasuk in Amos. Uksiv, and now we move on to discuss how we know that as a result of this, you're going to see locusts. Hikisi eschem, we're back in Navi, we're in Pasuk in Amos. Bishidafon, the wind is going to blow, not a good wind, but one that creates famine. Uviyirakon, charvos ginosechem, uchramechem, uteinechem, vizesechem. So all your gardens, your vineyards, the fields that grow figs and olives, yochal, and who's going to eat them? Hagezem. So the gezem is going to eat them. Now, gezem is a type of locust. Now, what are they? First wave, second wave, third wave of locust. What are we talking about? So the Gemara now quotes a pasuk in Yoel. Here we are. Yoel is made up of four prakim. Back in my days in YU, I learned it. I want to give credit, I think Rabbi Morty Cohen. Okay, or for those of you who speak YU. So anyway, Yochal HaGezem. So Uksiv, now we're in the first parak of Yoel. Yeser HaGezem Achal HaRebeh. V'yeser HaRebeh Achal HaYelek. V'yeser HaYelek Achal HaChasil. Gezem is simply the first wave. And whatever the Gezem leaves over, so that's the Arbeh that eats it. Whatever the Arbeh leaves over, the Yelek eats it. Whatever the Yelek leaves over, the Chasil eat it. So we just learned about four different species of locusts, and you see that gezem is just first wave. That's all it is. Uksiva yigzral yamin v'reiva yochal al smol v'lo saveu ish basar zra'o yochelu. And the Gemara now quotes one more pasuk that punctuates this whole discussion, this very sad discussion. And if you remember, we said that you're going to have a famine, and the locusts are going to eat all your food, and you won't have any food, and then you're going to succumb to having to eat your children. And this is now based on this pasuk in Yishayahu, where the Gemara quotes, "Altikre besar zero'o, ela besar zaro." Okay. Ba'avon inui hadin. Okay, number five. Inui hadin means the perversion of justice. So in other words, there are courts in the city, people go to courts, but they're not judging fairly. So inui hadin, so the Gemara says, as a result of that, veha, ivos hadin, the kilkul hadin, uvitol Torah. Now, Bittul Torah, I'm not really sure how that fits into this discussion, but there's three things that are described over here. Inui Hadin, Ivos Hadin, Kilkul Hadin. Inui Hadin is more like protracting of din, meaning that instead of coming up to a quick decision, so the whole thing gets protracted again and again. In American law, we seem to like that. We enjoy protracting the justice.
Does that mean appeal, or does that mean...
It means, generally speaking, here it means not coming to rendering a decision. Generally speaking, there is an appeal system, which generally, okay, not to say that I'm absolutely correct about this, but generally, Inui Dim is talking about the actual decision itself. Okay. Avos Hadin, Ivos Hadin. So the way Rashi explains that is it's a perversion of justice. And Kilkul Hadin, Rashi explains, Shalai Yumasunim Bol Ayin Kol Sarchal. It's just failure to look into it seriously. Meaning it's a very superficial look at what the case actually is, without investigating and without getting into any details, and rendering a decision, a conclusion, based on superficial information. Okay? But all of it speaks to the same basic idea: the court system is not in order. So what? And Bittul Torah, which
because if they don't learn enough,
yeah, I assume maybe Bittul Torah in this context means that they simply don't know enough, and they don't know how to judge. So as a result of that, chera ubizara v'dever uvitzoros ba. So what to then expect is going to be the sword, which means invading nations, bizaraba, a lot of plundering, dever. Pestilence, and uvitzaros and famine. Uvnei adam ochlem ve'enosveim, people will eat, they won't be satisfied. Ve'ochlem lachman be'mishkal, there'll be food rationing. Ve'in bris ala Torah, and it's because of a failure of bris, and we know bris is a reference to Torah. Shenemrim lo brisi yomam v'laylo. Ksiv b'shivri lachem mita lachem v'afu esen hashim v'gomer. And then the Gemara quotes from the Tochacha of Bechukosai, and you'll have women baking in the oven, multiple women, 10 women baking in an oven bread, and it won't be full. And the pasuk says, Ya'an uviya'an b'mishpate ma'asu, because they were moist, they rejected my mishpat. And in this case, in this context, means not only my mishpat, but even your own mishpat, meaning you're not running a good court system. Okay. Next, number 6. Shvuah shav, shvuah sheker, chel Hashem v'chel Shabbos. So these four get lumped together. We're going to see in just a moment why these particular four get lumped together. Shvuah shav is making a shvuah that's nonsense, right? Saying that this cup of coffee is in fact a cup of grape juice and making a shvuah to that effect. Shvuah sheker is making a shvuah which would be a lie, either about something in the future or something in the past. Chel Hashem, general desecration of God's name. And Chel Shabbos is the Masechta that we're learning right now. Chaya ra raba uvehema kala uvnei adam is matmin. So as a result of that, there's going to be wild animals running through. Domesticated animals will die. Populations will dwindle. I know I'm speaking apocalyptically right now. Uvnei adam is matmin v'hadrachim mishtomimim, and roads will be decimated. Shenemar v'im ba'elo l'tivasru li. If for these you do not accept my musar, my reprimand, I'll tikra ba'ela ela ba'ala. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the word ba'ela, repunctuate it, and it's Allah. Allah means a shvua. Uksiv v'hishlachti bachem eschayas hasadeh. And the pasuk couldn't be any clearer. And as a result of that, I'm going to send out chayas hasadeh, the wild animals. Uksiv b'shvua sheker lo sishbu b'shmi l'shaker v'chilalti yishem elokecha. And now we get to see why these other averos get lumped in. It's going to be basically egzer shava. We have in Sheker the word chilalti, Hashem Elokecha, uvechil Hashem k'siv lo sechal Hashem katshi, and chil Hashem, I mean kishmo kachu, it's all about chilo, chilo Shabbos k'siv mechala mos yumas, v'yalav chilo chilo m'shvo Sheker. So it's all now based on egzer shava connected to shvo Sheker. So we know by shvo Sheker, so we have the pasuk that speaks to the invasion of the wild animals and the dwindling of the population, etc., etc. So these others are connected, these other averos are connected through the gzeirah shavah of chilul. Ba'avon shvichus damim. So now, murder. If there is a wave of murder, Beis HaMikdash charav u'shchina mistalekes miYisrael. So the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and the Shechina is removed from the Jewish people. Shenemar v'lo sachanifu velositamei es haaretz asher tam yoshim ba asher ani shochein bisocha. The pasuk in Parshas Matos and Maaseh speak about shvichas damim. It's interesting. Take a look in context over there. It's not talking about people who are killing deliberately. It's talking about misa b'shogeg. But still, that's misa nevertheless. So manslaughter was how we would say it here in this country. Ha'atam etamim osa incham yoshim ba. Which means that if you violate the sister of shvichas damim, so you're going to be kicked out of the land. Ve'eini shochem b'socha. And I myself, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, will not dwell in this land. There's going to be a removal of Shechina. That was number 7. Number 8. Gilo ayraiz v'avodos kochavim. Ve'ashmata shmitin v'yovlos. So as a result of lascivious behavior and idolatry and hashmata shmitin, failure to abide by the laws of shmita and yovel, galus bala olam. So that brings about exile. Umegal noso vayin acherim v'yoshim bim kamam. And as a result of that, we are exiled. Others out of the land of Israel. Others are then going to come into the land of Israel. Shenemar ki eskol ha'toivos ha'el asu anshei ha'aretz uksiv v'titamei ha'aretz v'efkod avona aleha. The land will be defiled and I'm going to visit the sin. Uksiv v'lo staki ha'aretz eschem b'tam echem osa And the land will spit you out. Literally, it will vomit you. And as a result of Avodas Kochavim, the temple will be destroyed. And I will be Zoreyu Begoyim. The word Zoreh, we're going to see one of the Malachas of Shabbos is called Zoreh. Zayin Vav Resh Hey. Zoreh means winnowing. What does that mean? It means that you take the chaff, you throw it up into the air, and all the chaff gets blown away, and the seeds come down to the ground. This is how they would separate the chaff from the seed. So the Gemara here quotes the pasuk. It says, "Ve'eschem azareh begoyim." Essentially, God says that's what He's going to do to us if we violate these averos. So, like the chaff, we get thrown into the air, we get blown out of Eretz Yisrael. B'shmitim b'yavlos k'siv as tirtzah aretz eshap soseha kol yemei hashama. And now we turn to the Tochacha, and it says that because we didn't abide by the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, so the land is going to kick us out and rest for those years that we refused to rest it. Uksiv kol yemei hashama tishbos. And now for all those years that we failed to rest the land, now because we're going to get kicked out of the land will in fact rest those years. Number 9. And finally, now the Gemara here speaks about vulgar language. Now the Gemara doesn't speak specifically about profanity. The Gemara elsewhere speaks about profanity, but the Gemara just here speaks talking vulgarly. I'm not sure if I said it right, but hopefully you know what I mean. A lot of pain and new decrees renew themselves. Uvachre Sona Yisrael Mesim, and young men will die. Now I know it says Sona Yisrael, but that's a euphemism, right? Whenever the Gemara speaks about something bad happening to us, so the Gemara speaks euphemistically, and the Gemara says Sona Yisrael, but it means us. Yisomim va'amanu solakim ve'enanin. Orphans and widows cry out, but they will not be answered, which of course is a tremendous chiddush because the pasuk says that when a widow cries out, she immediately is answered. But in this regard, for this sin, they are not. Akash Baruch Hu will not be merachim. Normally he is, especially for orphans and for widows he is, but for this avon, Akash Baruch Hu will not be merachim. And why? So the pasuk says it because kol peh dover nevela, because the mouth speaks vulgarity. Va'od yado netuya. And then Akash Baruch Hu's hand is stretched out, and that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. My vod yadon etiyav amar avchana barava akol yodin kala lama nechnasa lechupa. The Gemara gives one example of speaking vulgarly. Everyone understands that on the day of a wedding, why the kala goes under the chupa. Elakol amenava piv afilu, but anyone who actually says it. Now, even if Akash Baruch Hu has a gzardin for this particular individual, and let's say the gzardin is a good one, and it's for 70 years, Litova, Hovchin Alav Lara, Akash Baruch Hu will take that gzardin, tear it up, and only give the person a gzardin of Ra'a for speaking vulgarly. Gemara speaks again very strongly about the person who speaks vulgarity. So the Gemara says, "Ma'amikin lo gehenim, his gehenim will be further deepened." Shenamar shocheh amuka pizaros, shocheh amuka. The word shocheh is connected to gehenim. It will be amuka, will be deepened pizaros, because his mouth speaks something which is foreign. In this context, obviously, it means he's speaking vulgarly. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Av Shomea V'Shosek. Now, I know in the world of Lashon Hara, we have the person speaking Lashon Hara, and we also have, the Gemara says, the person who hears Lashon Hara. In fact, the Gemara says, the Rambam says, that the person who hears is more of a sinner than the person who speaks Lashon Hara. It's hard to understand, but maybe intuitively you can hear that. The Gemara here speaks about Nivol Peh, speaking vulgarly, and the Gemara says not only is the person who speaks the vulgarity, but the person who listens as well has what to answer for. By the way, it's not right, shomea v'shosek, meaning he hears it and he doesn't reply at all. And of course, by not replying, so he's giving like a tacit agreement to the vulgarity that was spoken. Shenamah, the pasuk says, "Um Hashem yipol sham." The anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yipol Sham will fall over there. Meaning the general area where vulgarity was spoke, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be angry at that spot. So in other words, and collateral damage, not only the person who spoke it, but the person who listened as well. Amar Rav Hoshea kol ha-mamarik atzmo la-avera. Now, this wasn't in the Simanim. Correct? Yeah. Okay, now, in other words, we're done with the Simanim. Right? In other words, the Siman gave us 9 different averas. We went through all 9. The 9th of which was Avon Nivlos Peh, speaking vulgarly, but the Gemara now is speaking more in more general terms. Kol ha-mamarik atzmo la-avera. Someone who premeditates to do an avera. Chaburz pitzim yotzim bo. So he's going to have a lot of wounds, a lot of flesh wounds. Shenemar chaburz petza timrok bira. V'lo od el shenidom bihidarkon. And he's going to suffer from the condition known as hidarkon. I don't know what the modern diagnosis of it is. I don't know if there is a modern diagnosis of hidarkon. They say jaundice, right? Is that, am I saying it correctly? I don't know. Shenemar makos chajre batan. It's an intestinal issue. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Simla Avera Hidarkon. Now, you see someone experiencing Hidarkon, so this intestinal intestinal disease, which obviously has some sort of symptoms that are clearly visible. So you know the person was an Avaryan. Okay? I know you're supposed to be down the Kaf Schus, but Tanu Rabbanan Gimel Minei Hidarkon Hein Shel Avera. Now, there are many different types of hidarkon. Meaning, if you open up your manual, so you will see that there's more than 3. It'll be clear from the Gemara. But 3 of the types of hidarkon are attributable to Avera. So, Shal Avera, Ava Vishal Rava Tapuach Vishal Kshafim Dak. Sorry, Shal Avera Ava. So for the person who is an Avaryan, so he has a very thick hidarkon. I really don't know how to describe that, but okay. Shel Rav, if the person is fasting, so he's subject to tapuach, basically inflammations. And not only inflammations, Barashi says that the inflammations, there's going to be abscesses and there's going to be pockets of liquid. And shel kshafim, now if the person is involved in sorcery, so the type of hidarkon he's going to suffer from is dak, where the skin is going to be very thin. Okay. Shmuel katan chashbe. Shmuel katan was actually suffering from hidarkon. Shmuel Katan, you remember him? We talked about him in Brachos. He was the one who composed the 19th bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. So he suffered from hidarkon. Amri Ribono Shel Olam mi mapis. So now he beseeches HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his tefillah is really short. It's 2 words. Mi mapis. And the way Rashi understands these 2 words, what it basically means is as follows. Look, as we just got done saying, there are many different types of hidarkon. Now there's 1 variation of the hidarkon that comes as a result of sinning. Now Shmuel HaKatan, the Gemara in Brachas, tells us he was a tzaddik gamor. He was a total tzaddik, which is why he was totally above any type of reproach, and he was the one who was able to compose the 19th bracha Shmoneh Esrei. He was not a sinner. However, he has hidarkon. So now the person who looks at him, how is the person going to look at him? No. Wait a second, Shmuel HaKatan is hidarkon? Right? Don't we have a tradition that hidarkon comes as a result of sinning? Oh, must be that Shmuel HaKatan is a sinner. Now it happens to be that he got a different type of hidarkon. So, but what his complaint is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what his tefillah is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi mapis, or who's going to take a lottery? Who's going to know why it is that I have a hidarkon? And the casual observer will just simply say to himself, must be he's a sinner. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his petition, itzei. And he was in fact healed. Abaye chashbe. So Abaye suffered from hidarkon. Amar Rav Yadana bei Benachmeni demachve nafshe. Now it happens that I know about my Nachmeni. Nachmeni, of course, was the name of Abaye. Right? Which one's his name? Which one's the nickname? But I know that he fasts regularly. Meaning the Gemara tells us that Abaye, the way he lived his life, was very ascetic. He did not eat. He fasted with frequency, and that's why he's suffering from hidarkon. Rava Chashbei. Now, Rava himself also suffered from hidarkon. Now, Rava had a different viewpoint of life. He did not live an ascetic life. In fact, he ate. He enjoyed eating. And he says, you know, he had a statement which is ketile kadar. More people die kedar by not moving their bowels frequently minifichi kafan than by fasting. Meaning, fasting is not a healthy way to live, but rather a healthy way to live would be by frequently moving your bowels, which the Gemara tells us he did. In other words, or at least he recommended doing so. So really what the Gemara is at a loss of understanding is why did he suffer from hidar kon? Meaning it's not because he fasted, because he didn't. He's not a sinner. So why is he suffering? So Shani Rava didn't de'anstilei Rabbanan be'idnei balkarche. So the Gemara says, although he recommended frequent bathroom visits, nevertheless, he himself couldn't do it. Why? Because he was too busy. Meaning he had a lot of students, he had a lot of talmidim, he had shir to go to, and so he did not visit the bathroom as regularly as he wanted to and as regularly as he preached. Okay. Break in the action. Tanu Rabbanan. Dal simanim heim. Siman la'avera hidarkon. So there are three simanim. If a person see a person experiencing hidarkon, so it probably means that he's a arvayan. Although, as we just got through in the Gemara, not necessarily. Remember, these are simanim. Simanim does not mean cause and effect. Simanim mean more like correlation. So, simon l'sinas chinam, yirakon. This one's jaundice. Sinas chinam, how do you know? So you're going to see a lot of yirakon. Okay, people walking around with yellow complexion. Simon l'gasas haruach anios. Now, gasas haruach, arrogance, so you're going to see poverty. Simon l'loshen hara, askara. Now, how do you know that a lot of Lashon Hara was spoken? So the Gemara says Askara. Askara is the swelling of the throat. It's some disease where the person will have a hard time breathing. That one, kind of self-evident, meaning he speaks Lashon Hara, so the onus comes in his throat. Tanu Rabbanan. Askara bala olam al hamaser. Now, we have a different tradition over here in this Braisa. Then why does Askara come? Why do people suffer from Askara? Because of Maisa, because they fail to give off Shumas and Maisos. I'm sorry, did not say the Gemara correctly, not, at least not according to Rashi. Rashi says, not because they didn't give off Shumas and Maisos, but because they ate Ha'ochel Peirosav Tevalem. They ate food that was not tithed, and we know that when you eat Tevel, the punishment for eating Tevel is Misa B'dei Shemayim. Death on the hands of heaven, which... right, now I understand why Rashi did that, because basically what we're saying is that for the person who doesn't eat his food, misukan, so therefore he gets askara. Askara comes directly from Hashem. That's not an onish bidei adam. Rav Elazar Rav Yossi omer al lashon hara. Now Rav Elazar Rav Yossi says askara comes as a result of lashon hara. Now omer Rav Yitimer Rav Yishuv Ben Levi Maikra v'amelch yismach belokim yishalel kol hanishba bo ki yiskar pi divrei shoker. Dovrei sheker. The end of the pasuk in Tehillim is what we're looking at right now. Ki yiskar. Yiskar comes from the word askara. Pi dovrei sheker, because he spoke dovrei sheker. He spoke words that were not true. Although, by the way, Lashon Hara is saying not only things that aren't true, but saying things that are true about somebody else as well. In fact, the real definition of Lashon Hara is saying things which are true about somebody else, but obviously things that should not be broadcasted. Ibailahu. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi al lashon hara kamar o dilma af al lashon hara nami kamar. Now, in this brisa that we just learned, so there were two opinions. There was a Tanakama that says the askar comes for the person who eats food that was not misukan, or chumas and maisas were not taken off, and then we're given the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, who says it comes as a result of lashon hara. Is he arguing or is he adding? Is he saying, no, it's not Meister, it's Lashon Hara? Or no, is he saying, it's Meister and it's Lashon Hara as well? Tashma, the Gemara now brings in a Braisa that answers this question. So when the rabbis went into the yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne, right, which exists to this day, you know, there was a 1800-year break between the yeshiva mentioned here in Keren B'Yavne and the one that is there now. But Okay, same idea. So Kishnichnus Rabbi Sanal Karim Yavna, Hayasham, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and this Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Nishla Shelazub, Efneim, Makazu, this plague, meaning Askara, Mimneima, Mitchila, Bibneimaim, Vigomers, Bethet. Now what happens is that it starts internally, intestinally, and then it kind of moves up, and it moves up to the throat. Okay, so it's definitely a GI issue. So Nana Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eli Rosh Hamidabrim Bechol Malkum. Now Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eli is referred to as the Rosh Hamidabrim. He always speaks first at any assembly. He's always given the position of speaking first, and this was an appointed position, meaning right that at any meeting of the convention, the rabbinic convention, he by appointment, and as we're going to learn later in the daf, by Roman appointment, he actually speaks first. The Amar. So, since he has the floor first, he says, "Afa pisha klayis yoatzos v'leiv mevin v'loshem mechatech pe gomer." So, look, your kidneys advise. The Gemara says it often that your eitzah comes from your kidney. Right? I know you think it has to do with the cleansing of the body and the cleaning out of the blood and removing the toxins, but okay. One doesn't have to be to the exclusion of the other. And the lev has havana. The lev understands, and the tongue is mechatech, but the pez gomer. So, in other words, everything starts internally and moves its way up, and askara starts internally and moves its way up. Nene Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi. Now, this part of the brisa is the one that we're interested in, as it's going to respond to the question that we asked. The question we want to know is, and when Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi says it comes as a result of lashon hara, is it one to the exclusion of the other? So listen now as we get to hear Rav Lazar Rav Yossi in this convention, where he says, "V'amar mimesha ochlin ba dvarim tameim." They eat dvarim tameim, and that's why a person gets askara. So dvarim tameim shakadacha. Now the Gemara says, "Now what does that mean? We're talking about really not kosher food." So the Gemara says it can't be, and as Rashi explains, because we know. The Torah is very clear about the punishment for eating non-kosher food, right? If it's nevela, it's malchus. If it's treif, it's malchus. In other words, the Torah is very clear about what the punishment will be. So it can be that we're talking about really non-kosher food. Ela she'ochlim ba dvarim she'enem mesukanim. We're talking about eating tevel, and what's the punishment of eating tevel? Tevel meaning food that trumas and maisos are not taken off. The punishment is misa b'dei shemayim. What is misa b'dei shemayim? Askara. Nene Rabbi Shimon v'amar ba'avan bitul Torah. Now, what do you think Rabbi Shimon's going to say? All right, obviously, he's going to talk about bitul Torah, meaning, as we'll see later on in the daf, he's all about limud Torah.
But so they eat the tevel goes to their kidney and it gives it that eats and then they speak.
Well, you're putting together the first answer and the second answer.
Oh.
Right, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi isn't that precise in terms of why it starts in the bottom and moves its way up.
I'm just putting it together.
Understood. Maybe, perhaps. And Rabbi Shimon says it's all about Bitul Torah. So, sorry, I lost my spot. So, Amru Lo, so they say to Rabbi Shimon, can't be Bitul Torah. Why? Because Nashim Yochichu, because women suffer from Askara. Now, they don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So, how could they be punished for Bitul Torah if they don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Shemeva Lo says Baalei. And so the Gemara says, well, they can cause Bitul Torah, right? They can tell their husbands, you know, I want you home. Right, correct. So, Nachrim Yochichu, well, non-Jews get Askara, and they don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so why should they be punished with Askara? Shema Baal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, yeah, but even though they themselves don't have this Bitul Torah, but they can cause Bitul Torah, they could tell the Jews, you know, we don't want you to learn, stay home. Or however which way you can imagine that the non-Jew will stop the Jew from learning. Tinokos Yochichu. So the Gemara says, yeah, children get askara. They don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Yeah, there's a mitzvah of chinuch, we all understand, but they themselves don't have the mitzvah. Shemeval and Savian. Well, in other words, they are going to prevent their fathers from learning. Tinoko Shabbos Rabban Yochichu. Yeah, but what about Tinoko Shabbos Rabban? They get askara, and all they're doing is sitting and learning. Hasam Kid Rabbi Goryon. The Gemara says, yeah, but their askara comes as a result of something else. The Gemara teaches us, "Amar Rabbi Goryon, v'itim Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shmaya, bizman, shehatzadikim bedor, tzadikim nispesim alador." Now, If there's a tzaddik in the generation, so the tzaddik is going to answer for the sins of that generation. Right? Part of the responsibility and the privilege, so to say, of being a tzaddik. Ain't tzaddik in bedor. Now, what if there's no tzaddik in the generation? So tinel kishol beis rabin is pasan al ador. So then you get the next holiest group of people, and that, of course, is children in yeshiva. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Zari, v'amri l'amar Rav Shimon ben Nezira, Maikra, im lo si'ilach ha'yafa ben Hashem, si'ilach be'ikvei hatzon. That if we are not careful, right? Rashi explains, im lo si'ilach lishmor mitzvosai. If you are not careful to be shomer mitzvos, so lech ha'yafa ben Hashem, si'ilach be'ikvei hatzon. So what we have to look forward to, the only thing that we can rely upon is ikve atzon, which as Rashi explains means chus avos. Ve'amrinan gidim amushkanim al haro'im. And what ends up happening is that the kids are mimushkan. They're like taken as collateral for the shepherds. So shmamina, and so therefore you see, af al lashon hara nami kamar shmamina. So to the question that we asked, of why it is the Rabbi Elazar Rav Yossi, is he arguing or adding? We now know the answer. He's adding, because in this convention over here, when asked the question, why do people get Askara? So it was Rabbi Elazar Rav Yossi, second wide line down. He says because they eat tevel. Good. So in other words, so previously we said on the top of the Amud, you see Rabbi Elazar Rav Yossi, the first line of the Amud, he says Allah Shon Hara. So it means Af Allah Shon Hara. Okay. Also, the amai. Okay, nami kama shmamina. Okay, and now with this, now we begin the discussion of the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. We'll start the Gemara now. Obviously, we will not get through the duration of the entire story. Right. So it's the story itself took 13 years. We only have a couple of minutes left, but we're going to begin. The amai karalei rosha medarim bechol makom. Now, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli, as mentioned earlier, was the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom. He had the appointed position of speaking first. Why should that be? The Yasi Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara speaks here of a meeting of three Tanayim. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, V'yasi Yehuda Ben Gerim Gabayu. And another one, Rav Yehuda Ben Gerim. Now, Pasuk Rav Yehuda V'amar Kama Na'im Ma'asem Shel Umazu. This nation, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about the Romans. So this nation, kamen na'im ma'aseihem. Beautiful. What the Romans did is beautiful. Tiknu shvakim, they made markets. Tiknu gesharim, they made bridges. Tiknu merchatzos, they made bathhouses. Good. And he was praising the Roman nation over the advancement that they made towards civilization. Rav Yossi shasak. Now Rav Yossi was very quiet. Nene rashbi v'amar. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, "Kol ma she'tiknu lo tiknu ela l'tzorach atzman." They did not want to enhance civilization; they were doing it only for themselves. There was no altruistic motive; it was all for selfish gain. Tiknu shivakim la'oshib b'hem zonos. The markets are just so they can have brothels. Mirchatzos la'adin b'hem atzman. Well, the bathhouses is only so they could pleasure themselves in the bathhouses. Gisharim lito mehem meches, bridges, that's only for tolls and taxes. So, and Sir Rashbi took a very negative attitude to all the advancements of the Romans. Okay, so you had three viewpoints of the Romans. One positive, one neutral, one negative. Now, Halach Yehuda ben Gerim v'sipar divrehem v'nishma'u l'malchus. So Yehuda ben Gerim now tattled. Now the Gemara never looks fondly on the Moser, on the one who tattles. Okay, the Gemara speaks very, very poorly about such an individual. Okay, and so Yehuda ben Gerim, do we get back to him? Perhaps. Amr Yehuda she'ila yit'ale. So now the Romans want to both reward and punish. So for Yehuda, she'ila, so he praised us. So yit'ale, he will be elevated. Yossi sheshasak, yigla. Now Rabbi Yossi, who was quiet, so he's going to be sent into exile. Litzipari, and his exile is that he's going to go to Tzipari. And Shimon shegina, yaharog. And Shimon bar Yochai, who put us down, he debased us. So he's going to be killed. Okay. We'll stop over here. Okay, so we have three, sorry, tomorrow, yeah, cliffhanger. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Tomorrow we will see the fate of the three of them. We'll speak more about the Rashbi. Okay, please come back. The learning that we do this morning will be for a Zchus, a Refuah Shleima, for Binyamin Zeva, Cohen Ben Sharona Rivka, and for Kobi Yechiel Ben Chana Sarah. Okay, what do we mean? Rabbi Chanan, Menachem Rosh, Kashbar, Zakhar, Sofia, Chachir, Ben Torah, Mr. Shanem, Anachafet, Samantiko, Yagdil, Torah, Vyadir.